This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day when we're going to take on the great debate about the war in Gaza. Is that war somehow a violation of international laws of war? We'll be speaking to John Yoo, who is a former United States attorney in the A Justice Department of the United States. He is a profound and widely respected legal thinker, professor of law at the University of California. He will be joining us on a paper he's written for the Hoover Institution at Stanford University about the laws of war and the war in Gaza. Concerning the war in the Middle East, there is news. The Israel Defense Forces, the IDF, has let it be known that they took out a significant Hezbollah leader. The name of this particular leader, who has gone on to achieve the martyrdom that he has been claiming to want for a long time, he's dead. His name sounds like it's made up, that it was something from an Adam Sandler movie. His name is Hassan Hussein Salami. And maybe to make it more respectful, in honor of the dead, we will say Hassan Hussein Salami. He was killed in an airstrike in southern Lebanon earlier today. Salami's role as a brigade commander came to a dramatic end today as his vehicle was targeted while he was driving in the southern Lebanon village of Mashadel. The Israel Defense Forces say Salami ran a regional unit in Hezbollah that led frequent attacks against Israeli soldiers and civilian communities in northern Israel. One of the difficulties for Israel in the midst of the ongoing war is they have also had to relocate tens of thousands, and it literally is tens of thousands of people from northern Israel to get them out of range of Hezbollah rockets and rocket attacks. Meanwhile, there is also this, and it's one of the most peculiar headline stories you could possibly find, as reported in the New York Times, which has generally been very sympathetic to the Palestinian cause, such as it is. There's a piece by Patrick Kingsley, who is their main Israel-based reporter, and the headline is "Top Leaders in West Bank Step Down." And it points out that Prime Minister Mohammed Shteya of the Palestinian Authority, the body that administers part of the Israeli-occupied West Bank, tendered the resignation of his entire cabinet yesterday, according to the Palestinian Authority's official news agency. The decision follows diplomatic efforts involving the United States and the Arab states, including Saudi Arabia, to persuade the Palestinian Authority to overhaul itself in a way that would enable it someday soon to take over the administration of Gaza after the war there ends. But it was unclear whether Mr. Shteya's resignation would be enough to revamp the Palestinian Authority or persuade Israel to let it govern Gaza. Remember, the Palestinian Authority was basically thrown out of Gaza after a civil war, a very bloody, awful, sadistic civil war involving Hamas. The Hamas group, terrorist group, had more support in Gaza than the Palestinian Authority did, and they succeeded in defeating them in battle. And away they went. And that left Gaza to the not-so-tender clutches of Hamas. That was in 2007, after Israel completely disengaged, got rid of all Israeli residents and police officials and soldiers, everything gone from Gaza as of 2005. The story here is very bizarre, because while they have the Palestinian prime minister and his entire cabinet resigning, the president of the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, Abu Mazen as he is known, 88 years young. I mean, the reason, why did God create Abu Mazen? It was to make Joe Biden look young. He's 7 years older than Joe Biden. And he is also now entering the 19th year of the four-year term for which he was elected. He just suspended elections and hasn't put himself up for election because he knows he's not popular. It was unclear whether Mr. Shteya's resignation would be enough to revamp the authority or persuade Israel to let it govern Gaza. President Mahmoud Abbas, the most senior leader of the authority, will stay in position along with his security chiefs. And after accepting Mr. Shteya's resignation, Mr. Abbas asked him to remain as a caretaker prime minister while a replacement is sought. Israeli leaders had strongly hinted they would not allow the Palestinian Authority's existing leadership to run Gaza. American and Arab leaders had hoped that new leadership might make Israel more likely to cede administrative control of Gaza to that authority. And by the way, what is realistic here is some kind of combination of Palestinian Authority with some perhaps Egyptian, Jordanian, maybe even Saudi officials. But something where you can have an accountable government that isn't going to sanction another massacre or another attack on Israeli territory. With no functional parliament within the areas controlled by the Palestinian Authority, Mr. Abbas remains the key figure in the Palestinian Authority, regardless of Mr. Shteya's fate. Mr. Abbas has long ruled by decree, and he exerts wide influence over the judiciary and prosecution system. It's a nice way of saying he's a dictator, which he is, who has suspended elections. Any prime minister works under the authority of Mahmoud Abbas and has little leeway to make his own decisions. According to diplomats briefed on his thinking, Mr. Abbas's preferred candidate for prime minister is Mohammed Mustafa, a longtime economic advisor who is considered a member of his inner circle. It allows Mr. Abbas to signal to foreign powers that he has begun an overhaul, whatever that means, while in practice delaying any substantive changes and giving himself more time. And I'm sure he'd love to give himself more time. He's 88 years old, for goodness sake. So there's, at some point, someone, even if you think you're indispensable, you go on to something else? In any event, he's working on an overhaul while in practice delaying any substantive changes and giving himself more time to persuade domestic allies and foreign leaders of Mr. Mustafa's virtues. That's Mohammed Mustafa, who might be the new prime minister. Meanwhile, the very latest on Nazis in the news. Yes, Nazis, open Nazis, and more coming up on the Midday Show.
why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. This is $19.95 for a 3-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
And on the Michael Medved show, there is a report about the Conservative Political Action Conference, which just concluded in Maryland, and in suburban D.C., really. And it involves Nazis in the news. What do Nazis have to do with the Conservative Political Action Conference? The Conservative Political Action Conference, as it's described by everyone, is the premier gathering of right-wing activists and politicians in America every year. And it serves as a bellwether for the direction of the conservative movement. According to an NBC News report, this year, Nazis, and this is not just using a term of opprobrium, though it is a term of opprobrium to be a Nazi, but this year, real Nazis showed up to play their role in this right-wing conference.
I'm for Hitler and Germany. Deutschland is happy and gay.
And it is kind of gay. In any event, this year Nazis showed up. And according to an NBC News report, a group of Nazis who openly identified as National Socialists. Nazi is an acronym for National Socialist. It was the National Socialist Workers Democratic Party. That's what the Nazi Party was. According to an NBC News report, a group of Nazis who openly identified as National Socialists mingled with mainstream conservative personalities, including some from Turning Point USA. Oh, way to go, guys. And they discussed race science, in quotes, and anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. Isn't Candace Owens associated with Turning Point USA through her friend Charlie Kirk? I mean, race science? Hitler's Nazi Party was officially called the National Socialist German Workers Party. The reporter of the article at NBC has video of some of the Nazis who were there at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC, giving a Heil Hitler salute in the lobby of the hotel where the conference took place, and of other groups, other members of the group reportedly using the N-word. Now, which N-word? Are they talking about using the N-word, which is a totally unacceptable means of referring to people of color, or is it the N-word as in Nazi? In any event, what's so bizarre about this is that a CPAC, one of the things you could depend on is it was very pro-Israel. Always has been, traditionally. And now, at a moment when Israel is horribly embattled and basically being victimized by modern-day Nazis who would like to kill, liquidate, eliminate, completely obliterate every Jewish person in the world, this year... This is when the Nazis come to CPAC, not encouraging. There's also the news from Gallup, and they're trying to make it a big story, but when you actually read into the story, it sounds a little bit like Much Ado About Nothing. The headline, Immigration Surges to Top of Most Important Problem List, and... they say in the story from Gallup, significantly more Americans name immigration as the most important problem facing the U.S., 28%, than did a month ago, when it was 20%. Immigration has now passed the government as the most often cited problem. Well, the government's an awfully broad problem. What do they mean when you say government? They never make that clear. After the two issues tied for the top position the past 2 months, in the latest poll, 20% of Americans named government as the most important problem, followed by the economy, 12%, and inflation, 11%, which is a sign that the economy is getting better. Yes, the market was down today while people are waiting some news on inflation, but it was down by less than 100 points, fortunately. In any event, the latest results are based on a February 1st through 20th Gallup survey. Immigration has ranked ahead of all other issues as the most important problem many times before, having last done so 5 years ago when there was a surge of attempted border crossings by Central American migrants. Immigration also ranked as the number one problem in July and November of 2018 and July of 2014. Immigration is a serious problem. And by the way, Katie Porter, who is a congresswoman, very liberal from the state of California, Democrat, she's running for U.S. Senate. She right now is running third, so she wouldn't clear the primary. The general election would be between Steve Garvey and Adam Schiff, but let's see what happens. In any event, she is insisting that that horrible case, which many people have heard about, of an illegal alien sadistically killing a girl in Atlanta should not be used to influence anything about immigration policy. Why not? Here's Katie Porter, 1.2.
Well, I think when a horrible tragedy like this happens, I think whenever we're dealing with violent crime, there's a sense of outrage, of sadness, and of loss. But I think the important thing to focus on is any one instance shouldn't shape our overall immigration policy.
Okay, saying that any one instance should shape our immigration policy, but isn't it fair enough to bring up horrible examples like this precisely because the idea, basically, of immigration security is doing something to stop people who have no legal basis for being in the country from coming into the country simply because we can't enforce the law. Speaking of enforcing the law, the question of the laws of war and so much attention being paid to the International Court of Criminal Justice, the UN body that has been considering Israel's effort to defend itself in the war on Gaza. The Gaza war and international law and the laws of war. John Yu of University of California joining us coming up on the MedVet Show.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
USA News Update. As lawmakers rush to avert a partial government shutdown, border funding and aid to Ukraine have emerged as significant hurdles. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer emphasized the gravity of the situation, noting that history is watching following President Biden's meeting with congressional leaders aimed at resolving the deadlock. In February, consumer confidence dropped. The Consumer Confidence Index, as reported by the Conference Board, fell by nearly 4 points following three consecutive months of improvement. The board's chief economist attributed the decline in February to persistent uncertainty surrounding the U.S. economy. Analysts at UBS Securities suggest that Netflix might increase its prices this year. In a research note, they anticipate a potential price hike from the streaming platform. Coupled with increased revenue from its ad-supported tier and growing subscriber base, the move could lead to a total revenue growth of 15%. John Schaefer, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
Michael Medved Show, it is always an honor to welcome to the show Professor John Hugh. He is the Emanuel S. Heller Chair in Law Holder, a distinguished professor of law at the University of California at Berkeley. He is also a non-resident senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute and a visiting fellow of the Hoover Institution. For the Hoover Institution at Stanford, he just did a very important piece, which is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com, The Laws of War and Their Application in Israel's Fight Against Hamas. Thank you for contributing this piece and for doing the research and argument necessary behind it, Professor Yu.
Well, thanks, and it's good to be with you again.
It's a great pleasure and honor, though the circumstances, of course, are grim. This is a brutal, horrible war. It began horribly with unspeakable massacres. But the one thing you make very clear at the beginning, you write, before turning to the legal and policy issues surrounding urban combat in Gaza, we should make clear that Israel has the right to use force. What does that mean, and why is that important?
I think people make a mistake between whether you have a right to go to war and then how you fight that war. But that's a difference that the law and scholars and thinkers have drawn for over 1,000 years. So there's a question. The first question is, are you allowed to use force? Are you allowed to go to war? That's different than how you choose to fight the war. And you could have an illegal war where people fight honorably, and you could also have a war that you're legal to, you know, go to, but that you fight illegally. The two questions have always been separate. And so in this case, on the October 7th attacks, I think it's undeniable that Israel has the right to go to war. The most important, the primary, and maybe some people think the only reason you can go to war these days is self-defense. And what we saw on October 7th, as you said, Michael, was an aggressive attack by Hamas on Israel, a surprise attack conducted in a brutal, inhumane way. And Israel has the right to defend itself. Another thing about the right to defend yourself is that it's not just, oh, you have the right to repel the attack. You have the right to continue on into the enemy's territory to make sure that they no longer have the ability to hurt you. And so when you read about Israel carrying out the war in Gaza, carrying its operations, not just in the north of Gaza, but also now turning to the south of Gaza, they have that right to continue to pursue Hamas to the point where Hamas will no longer be in a position to harm Israel again. That's all within this right of self-defense. And this is a right that the United States has stood up for many, many decades. We're doing it in Ukraine, for example. We did it in Vietnam, South Korea, World War II. I can't think that anyone could make a plausible claim that Israel doesn't have the right to use force to try to defend itself here.
There's also the matter that would it be different if in the course of the war, if not just wanting a ceasefire, if Hamas said that let us reach a ceasefire that we will observe and will never again attack for any reason our neighbor. If that kind of offer has not been made by anyone involved with Hamas, if that kind of offer were made, would it be a situation in terms of perpetuating the war?
I don't think so. It's an important question, though. So for one question, Michael, is that you can't, you can't keep waging a war when it's no longer necessary. So part of the idea of self-defense is that you are going to war and it's necessary to stop further attacks on you, to stop further threats on your peace. And so part of it has to do with whether it's believable. You know, some enemy can't just say, oh, we want to have negotiate a peace and you have to stop fighting, especially if you don't believe them. And this is a problem with Hamas, given the things it says, given the way it launched the October 7th attacks. How can we find any kind of permanent, not just a temporary ceasefire, but a permanent end to hostilities and a promise by Hamas that they won't ever attack Israel again? How can anyone find that believable? And so Israel has the right to reject such a claim because it says look what you did. Look how you attacked us on October 7th. Isn't, in fact, Hamas is one of its founding principles is to end the state of Israel. So why would Israel believe that any kind of permanent peace were possible?
Okay, you also go into in your paper, which is must read for anybody who wants to be properly schooled in the legal background of what we're talking about terms like indiscriminate and disproportionate. In other words, the laws of war suggest that an indiscriminate and a disproportionate response is not appropriate, is not lawful. Why is this not a case of an indiscriminate and disproportionate response?
Well, this now gets into the question of how you choose to fight the war. Even though you have the right to go to war, there are certain rules on how you conduct it. For example, the most important principle of the laws of war that goes back thousands of years. In fact, you could say it might be one of Western civilization's great achievements is to try to narrow fighting to combatants, to try to avoid harming civilians as much as is practically possible. That the main goal of all military operations is the military assets of the other side, not the civilian population. So when armies like our army or the Israeli, you know, the self-defense forces engage in operations, they do have this limit on how they use force to make sure that they the adjectives you use. They're not killing civilians indiscriminately. They're not using force out of proportion to the military goal, that their real target is military, not civilian. Now, I might add, obviously, Hamas does not obey these rules. On October 7th, they attacked multiple purely civilian targets. For example, the music festival, civilian homes that had no military value, had no military units. Hamas and other terrorist groups like it, that they actually succeed by trying to violate the very core principles that we use.
They succeed in what with the principles that we use?
I'm sorry. These terrorist groups, they try to succeed. They gain an advantage by their willingness to violate the principles that we Western militaries use. So they target civilians deliberately. They are the ones who indiscriminately kill. They're the ones who act out of all proportion to any military goal. Israel, it's almost diabolical that Israel is being accused of this when, in fact, it's Hamas that operates that way.
Well, you also find in the laws of war that there is a very real problem with using human shields, with trying to place civilians, innocent civilians, in between you and your enemy. Why is Hamas basically getting away with that? Every time you hear that total of the number of casualties. We will get to that and more with John Yoo of University of California at Berkeley, talking about the war in Gaza and the law of war. Coming up.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science. then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
And on the Michael Medved Show, pleased to be speaking to Professor John Yu of the University of California at Berkeley about the laws of war and the ongoing conflict between Israel and Hamas. And very important to understand that it is not a conflict between Israel and Gaza. It is a conflict between this terrorist group, which has declared perpetual and, in fact, genocidal war against Israel, and the state of Israel operating as a member of the UN, a state, not simply a terrorist gang. In terms of the use of human shields, which is something that the Israelis bring up a lot, the idea of trying to hide military facilities and, in fact, hostages, kidnap hostages in tunnels and underground bunkers that they have established beneath civilian hospitals and homes and schools and more, that it is actually Hamas that is violating the laws of war. Can you explain that point a little bit, Professor Yu?
I'm glad you raised that. That's a really important point, and maybe the way that the law is most important in this conflict. And the reason why is because the laws of war, as we were talking about in the last segment, so you can't target civilians, you can't target purely civilian buildings and resources. But at the same time, the laws of war say you also aren't allowed to hide in civilian buildings. You're not allowed to hide behind civilians. You can't use hospitals and churches, religious places of worship, to conduct your military operations. Because that if you do so, then the laws of war permit Israel or any other country to attack those sites. And it's important to realize why, because if the purpose of these rules is to minimize harm to civilians, and then you created this kind of immunity for people like Hamas that said, oh, well, they can shoot at you, but the minute they hide behind a mosque, you can't shoot back, then the incentive is going to be that Hamas is going to locate all their operations in these civilian locations and then invite more attacks on civilians. And that, in fact, is Hamas's real strategy here. What they're trying to do is they're trying to count on the Western way of war to spare civilians and to try to only target the military. They're trying to use their civilians as shields, which is illegal under the laws of war. And one other thing I want to say about what Israel is doing, at least as I've been able to observe it through the media here in California, I mean, I've not been there to see it up close, but I think they've been actually conducting their military operations with a great deal of sensitivity to try to avoid civilian casualties, despite what Hamas is doing, which is to basically hide and camouflage and try to blend in to the civilian population, and in fact to try to invite attacks on civilians to try to generate as many casualties in the civilian population as possible. It's Hamas, by its actions, which is harming the civilian population, I think, more so than what Israel is doing.
And again, they have been harming, even in periods where there's not active conflict, the people in Gaza, the civilians in Gaza, have suffered under the rule and misrule of Hamas. This one question about the whole idea of taking hostages that you are then going to trade in very uneven trade for people who have been convicted in courts of law of terrorist crimes. Today there was a CBS report that at least 30,000 children have been taken from their homes in Ukraine and unlawfully deported to Russia. Are these activities by Hamas, kidnapping originally 240 people before some of them have been traded back and some of them have been killed, and this idea of taking children and forcing them to leave their parents, be separated from their parents, and go through new lives in Russia, would that be an equivalent crime?
Yeah, this is another example of how Hamas is violating the civilized rules of warfare. The whole purpose is to protect civilians. So the last thing the laws of war should permit you to do is shoot civilians or to take them hostage and use them as bargaining chips. Then you can take prisoners of war. You can take people who surrender. You can take people prisoner who are injured in combat. And these are members of the military. But what you can't do is grab civilians and use them as shields or grab civilians and take them hostage. That's just flat out a violation of rule. There's no justification for that at all. But again, what Hamas is doing is trying to take advantage of their willingness to violate those rules while knowing that Israel or knowing that the United States or the Europeans are going to demand that the war be fought on our side at a much higher standard.
In terms of the ongoing case, which has not had a definitive resolution yet at the International Court of Criminal Justice in The Hague, it's a division of the UN. Do you think there's any realistic possibility that this case against Israel that was brought by South Africa, that it's going to have some serious impact or some definitive anti-Israel resolution?
It's sad that this has happened. The ICJ, the International Court of Justice, was started with the best of motives and has done well in some periods. But I think, like other institutions of the UN, it's become used as a tool by anti-Western movements, anti-Western nations. This is an example. The idea that you would accuse Israel of conducting genocide, I just think is outrageous. And so the ICJ is going to lose because if it were to make such an outrageous finding, then people will continue to ignore it. For example, the United States pulled out of the ICJ in the 80s because the ICJ tried to order President Reagan from conducting his Central American policy to stop the Nicaraguans, for example. The ICJ has tried to stop the United States from defending vessels in the Persian Gulf from Iranian attacks. Every time it does something like that and shows itself really to be a tool of these anti-Western movements and nations, the countries that really care about the rule of law, like the United States, like Israel, it makes them even more confident that they should reject the court and that they should pull out of the court's authority. And this might be, you know, the last blow if the court or the ICJ were to do this, to demonstrate to, again, the serious Western nations that's not a real court and that's not to be taken seriously. That's what I think could very well happen if this, if the ICJ continues to be used more as like a propaganda tool of sort of anti-Israel forces than a real court of law.
It's a very profound and important point. And last word, the word is genocide. The accusation against Israel at the ICJ, the International Court of Justice, brought by South Africa, was that Israel was committing genocide. I have heard many authoritative legal scholars say that actually, if either side were guilty of genocide, as it is defined properly in the Geneva Convention and more, it would be Hamas, not Israel. Why is that the case?
I think that's right, because Hamas is stated as one of its goals, if not its major goal, is to eliminate Israel, right? Is to remove the Jewish state from the land it now occupies, right? Between the river to the sea, between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea, is to be free of Jews. That's genocidal. I mean, you're talking about the elimination of a population. Israel here is not trying to commit any kind of genocide. They are trying to get at Hamas, and they're having, unfortunately, the collateral effect of killing Palestinian civilians because Hamas won't fight out in the open, and they're putting civilians in front. Which party is really responsible for civilian death tolls in Gaza? And I also hate to say it, but you know, even though we're seeing large civilian casualties, maybe 20,000-30,000, that comes nowhere near what you would expect to see if a country were actually engaged in genocide. I think it's a ridiculous claim.
So much to be learned. Please go to michaelmedved.com. We have posted the piece from Hoover Institution by John Hugh. It is indispensable. It is under the heading, The Laws of War and Their Application, and Israel's Fight Against Hamas. And a fight concerning this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hey, want to feel young again? Are you tired, run down, have aches and pains, brain fog? This is science-based, not hype or fancy marketing. It really works. Carbon 60 helps detoxify your body on the cellular level. It stabilizes free radicals, just like the antioxidants found in red wine and berries do, but on a far smaller, more bioavailable nanoscale. It's like a bottle of electrons, helping your body to function better. You can also apply it on your skin, topically, over muscles, joints, or organs. Most people feel results within minutes. This is not a drug. It's organic carbon. Feel better today. About 95% of our users report more energy and clarity of mind within 10 days. Give us a call at Greska's Carbon 60 at 720-600-6040 or visit our site at c-60.com. Call 720-600-6040. And feel young again.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.